Welcome to Golden Mastermind Seminars Radio with your host, Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome to Facebook Live. I'm just going to reach right over here and grab a note. Welcome to 2-4 Tuesday. The More Heart Than Talent was the original name of the live conference call that I hosted for many, many years, starting back in 2002. It was called the More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. Welcome, Twana. TC Cole, so good to see you this afternoon. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be here. Henry, good to see you. Looking forward to coaching you tomorrow. Henry, Mike Green, good to see you. A lot of people on here this afternoon. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Just getting all dialed in. Vicki Lee in Pennsylvania, good to see you this afternoon. The topic for today's Facebook Live is the psychology of habit. Over the years, I did the psychology of prospecting, the psychology of closing, the psychology of asking, and a whole host of terms that are associated with the term psychology, meaning the inner game. And the more you understand that there's an inner skill, there's an inner dialogue, there's a different set of communication skills that you learn to master to go from average to good to exceptional. So the more you understand that, the more that you start to put forth energy into being your best you one day at a time. I had a breakdown in my house today. I had a paint can leak in a cabinet and just now found out about it, and was just, my assistant and I were in just absolute full energy to put it all back together. And so that means it was just like this. There's a set of reflexes rather than going into fight or flight and going, oh my God. So we went into results, the solution. And I was a couple minutes late for the live today. And that is why, because occasionally situations happen that requires us to operate in a sense of urgency in a relaxed body. That is a habit. But many people's habits are to go into fight or flight. They avoid, they procrastinate, they put it off till it's too late. And then what is a problem becomes a disaster. And the more you understand the cause that creates the effect of why you do, why you avoid, why you procrastinate, why you are late, why you are overwhelmed. And the more you understand that, then the how-to becomes more effective. But most people focus on how. How do I let go? It's not why, how do you let go, why don't you? And the more you understand the inner mechanism of letting go, that's what elevates your consciousness. The most important skill you can master one day at a time over a long career and a long lifetime is the skill of letting go. It's the separation of feelings and events, meaning that you don't personalize situations. You're not sensitive and defensive. You don't brood and pout. You don't want to get even. You don't want to be right. You learn to let go. So you can address situations in flexibility as easily and effortlessly as possible and create an outcome that's favorable. And even sometimes the outcome isn't favorable, you can let that go because you have a new day tomorrow. After 86,400 seconds, 1,440 minutes, it's called time. Every single day, you are granted a new gift called time. And every single day, you have a new opportunity to be your best you. And as you begin to do this back to back, it creates a compounded effect. It creates an emotional habit. So if your emotional habits have not been favorable or good throughout the annals of your life, there's a high probability that you're overwhelmed, overweight, in debt, stuffing your feelings, any multitude of situations that have you not feeling good enough. And if you're in that situation on any given day, you can change the flow of that energy by the power of decision, but most importantly, the power of a habit. And habits comes from the word habitual. And so there, we are conditioned to believe there's good and bad, right and wrong, black and white. So we're taught good habits and bad habits. Habits, however, can be learned. Any habit can learn. So the reflexes that most people live in are fight or flight reflexes, and they go to anxiety, fear, and doubt. And that habit has them avoiding, procrastinating, getting ready to get ready, feeling not good enough, overwhelmed in a whole different situations. Emotions have a corresponding response. So the emotions that you send out telepathically, when you're in anger, when you're in hate, you're resentment, you're in guilt, you're in shame, you feel abandoned, rejected, you're sensitive, defensive, you're in apathy, you feel despondent, depressed, any of these emotions, or you feel grief or sadness, or you feel these emotions and you're holding on to it. And then you factor if you get ill or sick or any multitude of situations that lowers your immune system. And then the trauma-based fear-mongering that goes on. So the trauma-based mind control that's been happening for centuries, years, decades, months, days, weeks, minutes, seconds, that's the cloak that's put upon you. That's all your, also your responsibility to be able to separate yourself from all that energy. And that requires skills, which is a habit. So how do I change a habit? People ask me that all the time. Charles Duhigg wrote a book about 10 years ago on the power of habit, D-U-H-I-G. And it's one of the most comprehensive books on it. I mean, it's what I teach. I cover it in The Breakthrough Factor. You change one day at a time, but most importantly, one moment at a time. It's the minutes and the seconds that are important in changing. So when you feel yourself going to fight or flight, that's a reaction. But as you begin to neutralize that fight or flight, that anxiety about an outcome that hasn't happened, you're virtually changing the neurochemical response to fight or flight. But when you react, so that's what most people do, is they react to the stimulus, you can teach yourself to respond to it. It means you lean into it. You acknowledge it. You accept it. This is what recovery is. This is the cycle of habit. This is how you let go of trauma, so the trauma bond that you grew up with. If you were beaten as a child, neglected, rejected, abandoned, sexually abused, any multitude of situations that creates that trauma bond that keeps you in fight or flight. It means you're bonded to that. You're bonded to that emotion, and this is why many people keep their family in their circle of influence, the very perpetrators and violators. They'll mate, date, and marry people like they're perpetrators and violators. They'll continue to attract the same situation over and over to fulfill the feeling of trauma that is not released. So that habit becomes habitual in who and what you attract. It's who and what you accept. It's not feeling good enough. It's under-earning, underachieving, being undercompensated. It becomes a habit. Just getting by becomes a habit. Struggling becomes a habit. Any one of you, us, collectively as a consciousness, individually, any one of us have the ability to change a behavior. But that requires a discipline, an emotional discipline. It's not what you do in the gym that's going to change these habits. It's what you do in your beliefs and your feelings. But if you believe you're not good enough, that's a habit. If you're 30, 40, 50, 60, you've underachieved, under-earned, have problems with debt, creating money, well, that's habitual. That means your dialogue with asking, deserving, receiving, your money skills, you can improve those by letting go. By the time we're 18, many of our habits are anchored, they're set in stone, they're formed at the dinner table, they're formed in grade school, junior high school, mainstream media, a lot of what we believe, a lot of our belief system comes from those conditioned behaviors. As you start to read books, open up, listen to podcasts, download content from the universe, you're virtually changing that habit. So that means you're going to be in conflict with your ego, the lower self. The lower self wants you to stay in a habit that is familiar because it's safe, it's disappointing, there's a payoff in it. This is very contradictory. Many people want to wrestle with this. They don't understand that that payoff is the very situation that they acknowledge, that's what I do, and begin letting go of that. As you begin to let go of the mind-body connections to those habitual behaviors that become emotions, and those emotions that have a corresponding response that you're sending into the universe, that mixed message that says, please join me, I'm not good enough. I'd love to have you in my business, but I'm not sure if I can lead you. I'd love to list your house, but I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. When you live in that trauma bond, that overwhelmed state of unconscious consciousness, when you're not good enough, when you're anxious about being rejected, when you're worried about being abandoned, when you're in an overwhelmed state, when you're too worried to go out on a date because you're afraid you'll sabotage it, when you feel incapable of changing. I mean, that's the overwhelmed state that most people live in. You don't fight through it. You don't wrestle with it. You don't force yourself out of it. You don't beat up the wet paper bag. You learn to let go. It's so much easier. Letting go is a breath. It's acceptance. It's gratitude for having the ability to let go. It's being able to accept it. It's forgiveness. It's a whole compounded effect that you can do and be concurrently that gives you the ability to separate your feelings. When you have your first day of sobriety, emotional or from an addiction, and then you have that second day, and you have that seventh day, there's your first week. Then all of a sudden you have 28 days, and then 2 days later you have 30 days, and you get your first 30-day chip in a recovery program. Well, that's so important that you understand that habit. One of the habitual behaviors that I assist people to understand is their snacks and treats. So many people, they can give up alcohol, but I have watched so many people wrestle with food. They have challenges letting go of their snacks. They have letting go of their treats. So when they're asking me for advice and I'm offering the advice, many people say things like, you mean I can never have a piece of pie? I didn't say that. I said you'd have to be willing to let go of your snacks and treats, because the snacks and treats that most people use are sugar and they're GMOs, genetically modified organisms. And then many people say, well, I eat really healthy food. I understand that, but it's the amount. It's how you stuff yourself. It's the grazing, the snacking that you hold on to throughout a day. It's the justification. I've been a good boy. I've been a good girl. I deserve this. And see, most people can compute that in alcohol. And so alcohol is an abstinence, but food is not an abstinence. Food also requires a habit. So your habitual snacking habits, your habitual grazing habits, your habitual reward habits would have to change. And so you also want to understand that many people will guilt you to stay in your bad habits. Oh, go ahead, just have one. It's only one. You mean you can never have one drink? No, the pleasure isn't worth the pain. Oh, just have one. No, thanks. I'll pass. Oh, go ahead and have a piece of cake. No, I'll pass. Oh, what's wrong with you? This is a wedding. Come on, lighten up, loosen up. No, dude, you don't fucking get it. I'm in sobriety and I don't have to explain, validate, and justify myself. These are the people you learn to walk away from. You start to have clearly defined habits in codependent recovery. You don't let people guilt you or shame you into making bad decisions, poor choices. And we see this a lot in today's world. We see people attempting to use shame and guilt to control us. And it's stepping out of that mind control, the trauma-based mind control that you learn to operate in. And so when you learn this, this doesn't mean you can't have a cheeseburger, but I'd suggest you don't have one at a fast food restaurant. And it's how many do you have? I mean, it's a whole multitude of situation of habitual habits. Henry said people push their guilt when I abstain from treats, so I let them go. Understand. Joe Castro says when people volunteer that they eat healthy, it's never the truth. Thank you. That's what often happens. So your habits aren't just in your food, in your alcohol, in your exercise. Your habits are in all areas of your life. And as you start to change the way you've been changing, as you let go of the anxiety, fear, and doubt you've been living in, you can unequivocally change a habit. People go, how long does it take to change a habit? Well, there's no documentable science. I mean, it's 7 days, 7 weeks, seven cracked mirrors. I mean, what does it really require to change a habit? I'll tell you the one word. It requires commitment. And when you are committed, There is no turning back. When you're committed, you're not interested. When you're committed, you're committed. But this is why so many people's language skills. When I coach my clients, I point out their language. I'm not criticizing them, but when your language is filled with, I don't know, I guess, and you're inserting this in your sentence, and your language is filled with kindas, I kind of want to go to the store. You're going to the store. So many Americans, Australians, Canadians insert these words of anxiety, fear, and doubt. I guess. Guess gets dropped in sentence frequently. And a large percent of society, when you become aware of this, you become the exception, not the norm. When your language is clear, when your communication is clear between your brain and your body, you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings. Also, changing habit requires power. It does not come from weakness. Well, I'd like to change a habit today. I'll try. Tomorrow is really yesterday. That's what try means. Changing a habit requires commitment, and it comes from power. It means you will not be denied. You will not succumb to the outer worlds. You will stay in your inner world and be your best you. The pleasure isn't worth the pain. That's how you change a habit. Valerie is on today's call. Valerie, you are an exceptional woman at changing habits. I've watched Henry change habits. I watched Tracy Calvert change habits. I've watched many of you access sobriety. I've seen many of you put together back-to-back days. I've coached you. I've watched many of you do this. You put back-to-back days together of sobriety. And if you're not able to do that, well, then you're just relapsing back into familiar behaviors. That's what the habits are. And when you relapse back into familiar behaviors, it gives you an excuse not to be responsible. The reason that many people don't change is because they have such a story, an overwhelming story about changing. Well, I'd reach out and call you, but I'm afraid I might hire you. I mean, that would really contradict your struggling. I'd do that 20-minute call with you, but I probably couldn't afford you. These are the habits that rob people of the opportunity to let go. You have no idea what you miss when you talk yourself out of collaborating with exceptional people. That's what so many people do. They sabotage the relationships because of their habits. And when you begin to understand that, you will start to empower yourself. You'll begin to attract a different set of circumstances, people, situations, and opportunities, your reality. As you begin to have a better understanding that letting go is a habit. And this is why I've taught many of my clients for years, I mean years, to the affirmation is, I'm always letting go. Now, many of you have used that for me. Tracy, good to see you this afternoon. Mike Green, Joe Casper. And I've seen many of you take that affirmation that I started using over 20 years ago as I began to teach let go across the world. And this is an affirmation, I'm always letting go. I have an affirmation card deck that I wrote over 20 years ago. And that is one of the cards in the deck. I'm always letting go. So when instead of saying I'm always overwhelmed, when you're edifying, always being overwhelmed, well, what are you? You're always overwhelmed. I'm always late. I'm the world's worst procrastinator. How many of you have heard that say that? How many of you have said, I'm a worry wart? I mean, what does the word worry and wart have to do with each other? I mean, is it a blemish on the hand? I mean, that doesn't even fit. It's just a cliche that's been passed around the world that really has very little, if anything, to do with being a worrier. Worrying is a chronic state for many people because worrying is anxiety about a future that hasn't happened. I'm always worried. I'm worried about money. Does money worry about you? But these are habits that many people perpetuate over and over to fulfill a set of feelings of not being good enough. When you become lovable and you become that, it's not, you don't get the love fairy doesn't tap you, and you're able to receive a compliment without asking the person, why would you say that about me? Because you're not good enough is why you even challenge that. When you begin to let go, letting go is one of the most valuable skills that you can master one day at a time, and it will empower you in every area of your life. Someone can say something to you and piss you off, and you're from zero to 90 in a few seconds, but when you learn to let go, you can be able to breathe, release, and let go, and you won't feel the same tendencies to want to be right. You don't want to guilt someone. You don't want to be in conflict. You're not the counterforce to someone else's force. You don't feel overwhelmed and out of control. You can neutralize the situation easily and effortlessly. You learn to walk away. Someone can be talking politically that aren't in line with your political views, and you don't feel like you have to jump in and teach them a lesson or teach them what's right and wrong. You can surrender. You can surrender your will to be right. You can walk away from a situation. In your power, you won't attract that situation as much as you did when you were in your anxiety. When you're in your anxiety, you're telegraphing it. You're virtually sending, please put me in conflict so I can replay what I've done with my parents my whole life. Please put me in conflict so I can't be good enough. Please challenge me so I'll check out and feel bad about myself. And I'll go into fight or flight, and then I'll validate, justify, and explain myself and tell a long story, a drunkologue. And that's what happens to so many good people, is they react to the stimulus rather than responding. Responding means you're able to adapt and adjust to the situation. It's going to be very valuable for you in your recovery, your sobriety, your consciousness, your selling career, your branding career, being an influencer, an affluencer, being able to be in the flow, being able to easily and effortlessly let go. It's emotional maturity. As you begin to emotionally mature, it's a component of recovery. And as you begin to recover, then you don't feel as victimized, you don't feel as traumatized, you don't feel the mind-body connections that you used to feel. You're able to adapt and adjust much easier. You're not taken out of the flow of the game as quickly as you used to be because you're changing your emotional habits. The emotional habits, instead of going into fight or flight, you move into courage. That's the first situation you access. You move into courage rather than anxiety. And courage is not an emotion. Courage is a quality that you begin to access. Anytime you step into courage, you're stepping into 200 cycles a second, and that elevates your consciousness. That takes you right up on the scale of consciousness to a very high level of consciousness. And it's amazing what that does for you. It takes you right up here, and you can breathe and release and let go. And your focus, it improves your focus when you're able to change your habits. So if you're overwhelmed, that's a focus challenge. It means you're an enabler, you over-obligate, you do more for others than you do for yourself. You start projects and can't finish them. That becomes habitual. And so you have all these projects out here in the ether that are undone. As you begin to have a better understanding right here of cause and effect, why you do what you do, as you're able to separate your feelings from the events that shape them. Separate your feelings from the events that shape them. That's a Louise Hay quote I started reading in 1988 in my first month of recovery from a book called You Can Heal Your Life. Louise Hay is unequivocally one of the masters of the universe at teaching mind-body connections. If you've never read, purchased, or owned the book, You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay, I highly recommend it. She has another companion book, You Can Heal Your Body, that shows the structure of the body and all the organs and the mind-body connections associated with them and a set of affirmations for them. I started using affirmations back in the 80s with a little tiny book called The Daily Word by Unity Church. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and when television would shut off back in the day, the Daily Word would come on one channel, and it would be a faith-based, Christ-based spiritual affirmation. I ended up eventually getting the monthly calendar. I started reading them. It eventually led me to a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It, which led me to Think and Grow Rich, to Louise Hay, to a multitude of books in the late 80s in my early recovery, which became the fundamental foundation for changing my beliefs. In chapter 3 of the book, the Game of Life and How to Play It, it's a chapter that impacted me more than any chapter in my early career. It said, your word is your law. And said it, in that chapter, it says, words do not return void. And as I began to change the sentence structure that I've been speaking, I noticed a gradual change in who and what I attracted. As I began to let go of my toxic communication, my critical self-talk, my judgment of others, as I began to practice forgiveness and recovery, I noticed a change in who and what I attracted. It's the term, they show up. And it's not magic, it's science. And the science is called synchronicity. It's when a meaningful coincidence is more than a coincidence. And when it happens frequently, then it becomes an occlusal, and that's alignment. As you learn how to align yourself with a purpose, as you learn to be much more relaxed in your body, as you let go of treats and snacks and taking nips out of the flask and shiny object purchases and swipes on your phone in the dating services, and you begin to let go of a lot of the shiny objects and the cardio cocktails that you consume to feel better when you feel terrible, you will no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings. And when you're carrying excess weight, it's not the weight that you carry, it's the feelings that you stuff that holds the weight in place. Then the weight begins to release itself organically, and you're not trying to diet. You're not in the gym every day trying to force it off. It begins to release itself a lot more organically than it ever has before. And you deserve that. You deserve to be your best you. Cynthia Dombrowski is on today's Facebook Live. Cynthia is an exceptional woman who's very, very skilled at detoxing. If you've not followed Cynthia, she was able to let go of her silicone implants that were making her sick and she was dying from them. She went on to heal her body, and she has a group. Cynthia posts a group. Cynthia is very skilled at coffee enemas. I'm very knowledgeable about colonics. I did colonics for a number of years. It's the cleansing of the upper colon. It's really cleaning the gut out. It's changing the whole way the body and brain operates. And so the more you understand cause and effect, why you do what you do, For those of you on today's call, we are 3 days away from Black Friday. I have an offer that is not, I'm not offering this, it's not a special, it's a unique marketing proposition, and you will not find it on an email, you won't find it on a Facebook post. It's a Black Friday coaching unique marketing value. I'm going to run it for 3 more days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That would be 4 more days. If you're on this call, I'm offering a 20-hour coaching value. If you're an existing client or you're a former client and you would like to receive that value, contact me. You can add on your existing coaching or you can rehire me at the rate I'm offering between now and Friday. If you're a brand new client and haven't taken a 20-minute coaching call, go ahead and send me a message and I will get back to you quickly. I have a unique marketing value for a first-time client as well. So if you want to contact me, go up and send me a message in Messenger. I'll be back here this evening. And if you haven't ever read Charles Duhigg's book, it is, I think Henry posted it. Henry, go ahead and repost that. It's right behind me in my shelf. It's The Power of Habit, I believe is the name of the book. Charles Duhigg, D-U-H-I-G. I also endorse a book called There Are No Accidents by Robert Hopke. It's on the power of synchronicity. And then anything by David Hawkins, Florence Scovel Shin. I mean, I've read thousands of books. Have a great afternoon, everyone. I look forward to connecting with you later this evening. Good afternoon and goodbye.